Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's really good to have you here this Sunday. It's December 3rd, 2023. It's hard to believe it's December already. And, you know, I just wanted to let the folks know that next week, we're here every week, but next week I'm going to take a little vacation, my wife and I, but Ray Powers will have a program going for us, won't he?
Yeah, he will.
He does that every week. We want to thank him for keeping us on the air all of these years. And, you know, one of the things we want to do is remind you that you can send questions to us if you have any Bible questions or even comments or a topic that you want to cover. And if they want to reach you, Ed, how would they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
All right. You can reach me at Mark at prophecyhope.com. And, Ed, tell us a little bit about this tiny little ministry here.
Well, we're just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We have services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for a Bible study, and that's available via Zoom if you're interested. And we also have services on the Sabbath, or Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30. That's live streamed, as well as being available via Zoom. And we have our worship hour, which is live streamed at 11.
Yeah, and that's found at prophecyhope.com is the name of the website.
And if you want to visit us, it's 1743 West Beverly Street in Stanton, Virginia.
And we would love that. You know, sometimes we had one gentleman visit us from Greece.
Yeah.
He popped in. He actually sat in on a couple of radio programs with us. He didn't talk, but he was here in the studio when we were doing this.
Right.
And it's been a blessing to know him. And, you know, it's amazing when people just drop in like that, because we didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
In fact, how did that look, Ed? What happened?
We have a camera outside the church that has different views. One view is the front porch. And somebody was on a bicycle tying up their bicycles to the railing on the porch. They go, are we expecting visitors?
And because we're such a tiny ministry. And when he came in, he introduced himself. And we said, where are you from? He says, well, I'm from Greece. And I think, was it you, Ed, that said, did you ride your bike the whole way?
Yeah.
Because we're in the United States. We're in Virginia. And it was so funny. And so that's kind of an ongoing joke. But if you're ever in this area, we would love to see you. On the first and third Sabbaths, typically, of the month, we typically have a fellowship meal. So if you come on those days, prepare to hang out with us and just have a good meal and sing a few hymns together. We like to get out the guitar and sing. So, okay, I think as far as business, I think that's about it.
Right.
I think we've covered everything. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. But before we do that, Ed, would you have a prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're, again, grateful to be here, grateful to be able to open your word, the Bible, and to learn from it, to have it affect our hearts and minds and affect our lives, how we live our lives. So, Father, as we read your word today, give us wisdom and understanding of what we're reading, and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, when we left off last weekend, you know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about a topic that has affected every human being alive, and that is the topic of death.
Yeah.
What happens when we die? What is hell? What happens with hellfire? And we've determined a number of things just by way of review. Some of the things that we talked about is the first lie that Satan told in the garden.
Yeah.
And what did Satan say to Eve?
He said, you won't die.
Yeah, you will not surely die.
Yeah, don't believe what God said. You won't die.
Yeah, so that was the first lie that's recorded in the Bible for us. But we know that eventually Eve did die from that sin. And so, you know, we think about what happens when we die. It says, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. We read in Ecclesiastes how the dead know not anything.
Right.
We looked at Lazarus. We talked about the rich man and Lazarus as far as hellfire is concerned. You know, we saw that hell is not a place that's burning today, that hellfire is a place that, or hellfire is actually going to be intensely hot, I think is how Peter puts it.
Yeah.
And it melts the elements. So it's much more hot than the hell that much of Christianity teaches.
And the purpose behind that is to rid the world of sin, rid the universe of sin.
Absolutely. Because, you know, this was a statement that we made a couple of weeks ago. If hellfire were burning today, that means that there are people who have committed small crimes that may not be worthy of the punishment of someone who was a mass murderer, right, or something like that, that has been burning longer than the person who would die today and be burning. So that's not just. Also, if the dead know nothing, they have to go back to the dust, right? And lastly, if hell burns for an eternity, it perpetuates sin.
Yes.
It means that, go ahead, you were going to say something.
That means Satan's lie, or Satan's statement is true, there that you won't die.
And so he's perpetuated this lie to where, unfortunately, many of our Christian brothers and sisters believe the lie that he told, because he's spun it so well. And the problem is, many times we're listening to our ministers or our pastors rather than going and seeing what the Bible says.
Right.
And that's why here in this program and in this ministry, it doesn't matter what the Bible what the Bible says. We want to follow it,
right?
And it doesn't matter what the people say, because we want to follow the Bible,
right?
So that's just a brief review. We talked about the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years will be spent in the heavens for the righteous people. What happens to the unrighteous during that time? Where are they?
They know nothing. They're dust.
Yes. And we read all of these texts. If you've missed those programs, you can go back. You'll see the titles listed, and you can listen to them. These will also be archived on the website, prophecyhope.com. So when we look at this situation, we talked about the 1,000 years, and then when the 1,000 years are finished, there's a second resurrection, and then Satan gathers these unrighteous people together to try to take over the holy city. And what happens at that point? We read it in Revelation chapter 20.
Well, that's when God sends fire and brimstone down upon the earth and destroys the wicked, destroys Satan, destroys death.
And so sin and death are gone forever.
Right.
And now only righteousness dwells in the universe.
Amen.
That's hard to imagine, isn't it?
You can't imagine. I can't imagine.
I can't, because we're so affected. Everything that we do is affected by sin.
Right.
Everything. So it's just going to be a beautiful time. I personally, from what I read in the Bible, it seems that Jesus coming, we know it's getting ever closer. We know that for sure. We don't know when it's going to be.
Right.
But we have that hope that it's in our lifetime. And if it's not, then we'll rest in Jesus until that first resurrection. So this kind of gives you an overview. That's just a quick 3 or 4 minute overview of what we've talked about for the last 4 radio programs. So this evening, I thought what we would do is, since we talked about reviewing those books and judging God's judgment and things like that, he opens those books and let us judge. Let's look at what the new world, what's it going to be like?
Okay.
And you know, you'll see, friends, that this isn't just, you know, we often think of the new world as just a New Testament teaching. But let's just start, if you don't mind it. I'm going to go to Matthew, and this is Matthew chapter 5. And just, if you could just start off with the Sermon on the Mount here and just read the Beatitudes. Just verses 1 through, 1 through 12.
All right. This is the Modern King James Version. And talking about Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Seems like there's a lot of mourning on this earth right now.
There is.
"Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward in heaven is great. for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Wow. You know, when I read this, when you read that last verse there, it doesn't sound like good news at the very last sentence.
Right.
But this is good news, isn't it?
Yes.
This is beautiful because this is a promise from Jesus himself. He's making this promise. And one of the things that always has stood out to me is verse 5. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell us why.
It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth."
Yeah.
And so many times, you know, as Christians, so many of us have been taught that, well, I'm going to go to heaven and that's where I'll reside forever. But this says the earth. It's talking about this planet where we live. But it's not going to be like it is today. It's going to be completely different.
Much different. I was going to say one of my favorite verses in this section is verse 6.
Okay.
It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those that are seeking God and his way of life."
Absolutely.
"You will be filled." I'm doing some studies on that right now involving the woman at the well.
Oh, yeah.
And it involves thirst. And Jesus can provide a filling thirst, so you'll never thirst anymore.
That's right.
"That for those that hunger and thirst after righteousness."
You're welcome to share some of the things that you've studied if you want to share that here
this
evening.
Well, maybe some other time.
Okay. All right. That would be beautiful because, you know, if you've ever worked outside or had a job or you wake up in the middle of the night and your mouth is dry and, you know, you just can't wait to drink something to quench the thirst. Could you imagine never having that, not only in a physical way, but in a spiritual way? Having all of those thoughts in your mind, all of the questions, you'll never thirst for, hey, I want to know the truth, because you're going to live with the truth, who is Jesus. So also look at when I look at the verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God."
Does that tell you something about God himself?
Yeah, you know, you hear people say, well, that's a bloodthirsty God. Well, if we're going to be sons of God for being peacemakers, then he's a loving, peacemaking God.
He wants peace.
He does. Oh. He does. And he wants us to live in that type of environment forever. When Adam and Eve were created, it says it was very good, right? Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful place. There was no sin. There was no death. And then something happened that caused this problem. And so when I read this text, this is called, in my Bible, it says the Beatitudes. And this word blessed literally means happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happy. So when I say, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when I think of poor in spirit, I remember, Ed, you shared a saying that a man had about someone who was in need that felt like they weren't worthy. That would be the poor in spirit.
Right.
What was that comment?
He said, well, how fortunate you are, because you're the person that Jesus Christ came on this earth to save.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times when things are good in my life, I'm just going to be honest, when things are good in my life, I tend to rely more on myself than on God.
Yeah.
And I think we might all kind of be guilty of that. You know, things are good today, but as soon as I have a need, I call on God.
911 God.
Yeah, exactly. You know, years ago, and I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this, Ed, but years ago I gave a sermon, and I asked the church, I said, how many of you have a spare tire in your car? And of course, every hand, today you don't have as many spare tires because they have run flats,
right. But
every hand went up. And I said, so how many of you have checked your spare tire in the past week? Not one hand. Mm-hmm. How about the past month? And I think one hand. What about 6 months? A couple of more hands. What about a year and a few more hands? You know, it kept getting larger. I said, how many of you have never checked your spare? And believe it or not, the majority of people had never checked their spare tire. And I said, but if you went out in the parking lot, if you left this church today and you walked out in the parking lot and you got in your car and it had a flat, what would you reach for? The first thing you're going to reach for is that spare tire and expect it to have air in it. Well, how can we have a relationship with God if we're not checking in with him?
Well, you know, in my personal study, I had been reading the book of Jeremiah about a month ago. And God tells the people there towards the end of the book, you're only calling my name when you have some kind of difficulty come upon you.
Yeah.
Go call upon these other gods you worship and let them help you. Don't call on
right.
me.
Right. That's right. What are they going to do for you?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Because they refuse to have a relationship with God, refuse to honor him, refuse to worship him in terms of obeying his commandments, they were worshiping other gods and attributing their blessings to these other gods instead of to the God who created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, to the God who's the peacemaker.
Yeah. So, you know, they're using him as a 911 God.
Yeah, that's so true. I'd never thought about it that way, but yeah, it's my emergency call.
Yeah.
You know? And so when I look at this and it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, most of us, all of us are sons and daughters of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always good to keep those lines open as long as our parents are alive, to honor them, as right. the Bible tells us, and to communicate with them. Because our parents are there to, they're kind of that safety net for us when we're here, you know, especially when we're first moving out of the house and we might need some help here or there.
Right.
But after we get out of that help area where we don't need help anymore, do we still check in with mom and dad?
Right. I can tell you, just from my own experience, it would be nice to have your children check in with you once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. You have two sons, don't you? And you have a granddaughter.
Yeah, I'm going to have another grandchild here.
Yeah,
next summer.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. That's exciting. But, you know, and yeah, so being sons of God, that tells me that God wants a relationship with us.
Yes.
And he wants that relationship with us today.
Yes.
So, you know, we're talking about living in this world, what things are like. It's going to be very different in this new world. Now, the way that we have our relationship with God, how do I have a relationship with God today? What does that look like? Well, I should pray.
Mm-hmm.
I need to open my Bible and read it. I need to treat others the way I want to be treated. That's part of the relationship with God, believe it or not.
Read his word to find out who he is.
Yes. Learn who his son is.
Yeah.
So that we can become sons and daughters of God.
Right.
So if we're not doing the will of God, then we're not truly sons of God. And that's biblical.
Yeah.
If we're not doing his will. So here in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then it talks about, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So that tells me that how I live my life toward others is important to God.
Right.
Are there any other thoughts in this text, Ed?
Well, I think if you continue on in that chapter, it talks about the golden rule.
Oh, it does. That's right. Where do we find that? The golden rule. See the second mile here, going the second mile. And then he gives the model prayer. If you want to find that golden rule. In the model prayer, listen to what he says here. Remember Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the model prayer, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is verse 9 of Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it says here. So God's plans for this earth is not just that it be destroyed and never be restored. He has to destroy it to lay it. We talked about that weeks ago. He lays it bare to destroy the sin, to wipe out all of those things. And then he's going to recreate it so that the New Jerusalem will settle on it and God will live here with us, according to the Bible.
The golden rule is found in Matthew 7:12.
That's part of the Sermon on the Mount, isn't
it? And this is modern King James says, therefore, all things, whatever you desire that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Wow. So we see that in the beginning, in the Beatitudes, we see the same type of thing being stated. So now we look at this. And this might be new for some people. Maybe we've never looked at the Lord's Prayer that way, that he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many Christians that I talk to don't understand that.
Do you believe that God's will in your life is the best thing for you? Do you trust God?
Wow, that's a great question. And you know, the more you get to know him, the more you do. And I have to admit, in my past, I wasn't sure. I trusted him. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I trust God, but that I trust that his way was better than mine. I don't think I did. But I have learned through my studies and through things that have happened in my life that his ways are better than mine.
Sometimes it's good for us to look back and see how God has helped us in our lives. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as you're going through a trial or a difficulty in your life, it's hard to see that, hard to understand that. I can remember my oldest son, he was in college, and he had tried several different majors, and it really wasn't working out. And he wanted some direction in life, and I suggested that he pray about it and that God would show him. And his response was, well, I hope he sure shows me real soon because I need to figure this out.
I understand that.
But sometimes during the time we want that thing instantly, and sometimes it's just that we don't see God working in our lives at that instance.
Right.
And after we get through that trial or that experience, and we're looking back on it, we can see how God has led us through that difficulty.
That has happened to me a number of times, Ed. And I tell people that, you know, people that are going through a trial or something, they might say, I don't know why I'm going through this. I always let them know, one day you will know and you'll understand. And you know, I don't know why either. But believe me, if whether it's in this life or when you're resurrected, you will understand what had happened.
Right.
And because there was a number of things that occurred in my life that I didn't realize what was happening. And now looking back, I say, you know, at the time, I didn't appreciate that experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Yeah.
But looking back, now I'm glad I've had that experience because now I not only can I deal with it better, it's made me who I am, and it can allow me to help others to be able to overcome the same trials, the same problems that I went through during that time.
Yeah.
And this is how God works within people,
yes.
And he uses other people to minister to us.
Right. You're right. That's one thing you can see God work in your life when he brings somebody else into your life to maybe help you with something physical, maybe something emotional or spiritual.
Absolutely.
Or just, you know, encourage you to improve your relationship with God, to stay in the Word.
Yes. It's amazing how, you know, we think of God as being so far off. He's remote. He's not here. He's not with us. Well, he is with us.
Yeah.
He is with us. And he is concerned about every aspect of your life, whether you realize that or not. And so his ultimate goal is to be back with us in a face-to-face relationship as he was with Adam and Eve in the beginning.
That's the purpose, you know, to having this relationship.
Mm.
You know, he wants to return the earth to the way he created it.
Yes, he does. He surely does. In fact, this is not just a New Testament idea. You know, if we look, just some of the texts that come up in my mind, and you might have some others, Ed, that you want to share. But
well, I want to
go ahead.
You said something. I want to share something.
Please.
In Jeremiah 23.
Okay.
And I'm going to read verses at least 23 on down a little bit.
Okay. Chapter 23 and what verse?
Starting 23.
Okay, 23:23. That's easy to remember.
Am I a God near, says Jehovah, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret place, though I shall not see him, says Jehovah? Mm. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says Jehovah? I have heard what the prophets say, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lie, but they are prophets of deceit of their own heart? And it goes on to talk about, you know, if you want to know God, know him for yourself. Don't know him through other people.
You know, this is one of the things that happens a lot, is we know God through our pastor, or through our minister, or maybe through our spouse,
right?
Or our grandparents,
right?
Or, you know, my granddaddy, this and that. Well, have a personal relationship with him. And it's tremendous once you recognize what this says. I am near at hand.
Yeah.
That's how it started, right. This whole thing. And he is. He's near. He will never forsake us so long as we're just trying to do the things that please him. He wants obedience,
yes,
not sacrifice.
Yes.
And so I want to apologize. I've got this, I don't know if it's allergies or I've had a cold for the last week or so. And so I sound a little strange probably to you. But, you know, that's the thing. This has been since the beginning of time, since the beginning of humanity, that God has wanted to have the relationship with humanity.
Right. And eventually this will end in a face-to-face relationship.
It absolutely will. The Bible tells us
in heaven and on the new earth.
Yes. In fact, you know, when we read the account in the Bible, if we look at Genesis chapter 3, and I know we've read this in the past many times, but here, after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, God comes into the garden. This is actually in Genesis chapter 3, and beginning in verse 8. It says, "And they heard the sound of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Why was he walking in the garden?
To have a conversation.
Yeah, he wanted to meet with them. Yeah. He wants to be with them. So he walks in the garden, and because of their sin, they recognized that they couldn't be in his presence. And so they hid themselves, and he took that opportunity right away to pronounce what would happen, right, what was going to be the consequences of their sin, but not just to announce the consequences of their sin, but to make a provision.
To give them hope.
To give them hope. To give them the opportunity to restore that relationship.
Right.
And it's all about having faith in the Son of God, mm-hmm, even that far back.
Because the sacrificial system that God implemented in himself by covering them, their nakedness, with skins of animals, that was the first sacrifice.
Yes.
And that shedding of blood pointed forward to what Jesus Christ, his Son, would come to do on this earth, which is the only true forgiveness,
amen,
of sins. The blood of bulls and goats can't forgive sins. It's only the blood of Christ.
That's right. It's a beautiful arrangement that God made. Yeah. And he loved us so much that it was his Son that he,
yes,
gave for us. And you know, think about that, friends. How much love does that take? And the fact that he wants to restore this relationship.
Well, you know, this restoration of this relationship really comes about when Christ comes again.
Yes.
And after 1,000 years, God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth.
That's right.
There's a text in Isaiah I really like.
Okay.
It's in Isaiah 65.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a beautiful chapter. Let me turn there.
And I'm going to be reading from verse 17 on down a little ways.
Okay.
And this is God speaking. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the things before will not be remembered nor come to mind." That in itself is a beautiful promise.
Amen.
All the difficulty that you've gone through in your life, all the wickedness and evilness that you've seen or experienced yourself personally, those things will not be remembered. They won't come to mind. Verse 18, "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will rejoice in my people. And the voice of her weeping will be heard in her no more, nor the voice of crying be heard in her."
Mm.
It goes on to say, "But there will not be an infant or an old man that has not filled his days. For the child will die 100 years old, but the sinner who is 100 years old will be despised." So that's talking about a child won't die because you're not a child at 100 years old.
Right.
You know, you're an adult.
Sure.
Okay. "And they will build houses and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And they will not build and another live in them. They will not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect will long enjoy the work of their hands."
Mm. Verse 23, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble." That's amazing.
Yeah. "For the seed of the beloved of Jehovah and their offspring with them."
Mm.
And it will be, before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like ox, and the dust will be the food of the snake. They will not hurt or destroy and maul my holy mountain, says Jehovah.
What a beautiful promise.
Yeah.
You know, and when you think about all of these things, you know, you look and you say, the lion's going to eat straw like the ox? Well, you know, before the flood of Noah's day, the animals weren't eating one another.
No, there was no carnivores.
Yeah, and man wasn't eating meat. At least no. God's people weren't,
yeah.
Right? Not until after the flood.
Right.
And then he gave them permission to eat certain types of meat.
Yeah, they call it clean meat.
Clean meat. Yeah. So, you know, when we look at these promises, what a beautiful thing this is. And this is an Old Testament passage
yes.
that you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not something new when we read what Jesus was praying for. It was nothing new.
This was promised to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, it was. This was what they originally had right at their fingertips. They right. were living this life.
Right.
This is what they had. And for selfish reasons, because of being deceived, Eve ate the fruit. And then Adam, knowing what he was doing,
yes.
did that. So it shows this really, and this is where we are today, friends, is we're so far from what we just read. Mm-hmm. We're far removed from this kind of thing. But we're not far removed from seeing it in our future.
Yes.
Right? Because this is a promise from God himself. And it's a promise from Jesus when he was on the earth. And so even back in the Psalms, you know, this is a text that I like that goes along really well with what you just read, Ed, in Psalm 37. And it says here, beginning in verse 9, it says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth." What does cut off mean when you read that? Like when you say something's cut off.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's put to an end.
Yeah.
Right? And so it says the evildoers they'll be brought to nothing is basically what that's saying. But those who wait on God will inherit the earth yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you shall look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek, this is what Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What a beautiful promise. And, you know, if you continue reading in the Psalm, 37th Psalm, it says in verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell therein forever. And so it's telling us here in the Old Testament that God's plans for this earth haven't changed. They had to take a little detour.
Yeah.
Because of sin. Just think of what that did in the heavens when the Son of God declared that he had to come to this earth and die for humanity.
Yeah, the cost.
Yeah.
The cost of our salvation.
Yeah, so God's plans for this world haven't changed. We're just living in a time period when the score is still being settled. That's the best way I can put it. You know, we're living, and our understanding of Scripture is we're coming. That's coming to a close quickly. It's getting ever closer.
Peter says that the reason Christ hasn't come yet again, because God wants everyone possible to be saved.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so he loves everyone so much. And a lot of times, and this is one thing that I want to sound down, and we've talked about this a number of times, and Ed, you can help me with this. So many people think, well, I'm such a sinner that he can't do anything for me. So where can I find comfort? Where can I turn in the Bible? When people start say that to me and they say, I've done so much in my life, there's nothing. God can't save me because I'm too far gone.
Let me take you to where I went.
Okay. Let's
in Romans chapter 5.
All right.
Anybody who's been listening any length of time knows this is my favorite portion of Scripture because it means so much to me personally.
All right, Romans 5.
Romans 5. I'm going to start in verse 5. And hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. For we yet, being without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Mm.
when I didn't have the strength to be obedient to God, when I didn't have the ability to remove sin from my life, that's when Christ died for me, the ungodly, the unrighteous. That's me.
Yeah.
Verse 7, for one will with difficulty die for a righteous one. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm. That means there's no requirements.
Right.
I don't have to keep 2 out of the 10 commandments. I don't have to keep 8 out of the 10 commandments. I don't have to do anything in particular. I just need to see my need for Jesus Christ.
Right.
Want to change in my life. Want to be obedient to God.
Right.
And so if you're in that situation, it doesn't matter where you're at right now in your life. It doesn't matter how evil you think you are, how bad you've been. If you desire change in your life, you're the person that Jesus Christ came and died for. Mm. You should have the greatest hope of anybody because you're the one he's looking for.
So what I hear you saying, Ed, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but just to illustrate for the folks that are listening, earthly friendships are usually contingent upon how I treat you.
Right.
If you have maybe a set of things that you want me to do and I do those, well, that's what our friendship is contingent upon.
Right.
But what you're saying is when we meet God or we want him to meet with us, he says, I'm going to meet you where you are.
Yes.
Right where you are, right? It doesn't matter whether you've done one thing for me or not. I'm going to meet you where you are.
He's reaching out to us to do something for us.
That's it.
Even in spite of the condition of our hearts and minds.
So then at that point, you know, what kind of a friendship ever starts with somebody saying, you've never done anything for me, but I'm going to reach out to you? It usually doesn't happen that way.
Now, if it does, it's someone who has love in their heart,
right,
and they want to reach out for you to cause change to occur in your life.
To help you.
You know, if you've ever taken the time, just you and God, to look and see what's in your heart, you might not like what you see.
Mm.
If you honestly take an inventory of your heart.
Right.
But God knows what's in your heart.
Yes,
and
he
even
does.
Though what's in there is not what he wants to be in there, he will save you through his son, Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading here.
Okay.
Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies to God,
right,
we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Mm.
The blood that Jesus shed on the cross, he shed for you and me.
Right.
To cover my sins, to pay the penalty for my sins, which is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
We deserve to die because of our being disobedient to God. And basically, disobedience to God is breaking the commandments of God.
Right.
But God in his love sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh, who was made like his brothers in all ways, was tempted in all ways like us, and yet without sin.
Mm.
He put his faith and trust in God, and he was obedient to his Father until the end.
Right.
And that's what saves us or justifies us before his Father. So when we accept Christ into our life, we receive forgiveness of sin, but now what? I've been made whole again, but now what? I still have life to live.
Right.
There's still a devil out there going about like a roaring lion seeking to devour.
That's right. And I still have these thoughts in my mind, right?
But God doesn't stop there.
Right.
He sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He sends the Spirit of Christ into our hearts to empower us to overcome sin because Christ has had that experience on this earth.
Amen.
And he was able to overcome, and now can empower us to overcome.
Absolutely, and that's why it says saved by his life in verse 10.
The life that he wants to live within us.
Yes. So the point is here is no matter where you are in your walk, if you've never had a walk and you say, I've just done too many bad things in my life, that's the person that you were talking about earlier, how grateful you are to realize that this is where you are.
Because that you're the person that Christ came to die for.
That's it.
Most people don't go to the doctor when they're healthy. They go to the doctor when they're sick.
Yeah, that's very true.
A righteous person, God is already in God's family.
Right.
But Christ came to seek the lost.
Yes, and to bring him into the fold.
Yes.
Right? So the point is, friends, you can have this relationship. And those things that you have done, Christ will help you to overcome those things to where you won't do them anymore.
It's a process.
It is. It doesn't happen instantaneously.
No, there are some people that said, when I gave my life to Christ, this thing changed immediately. I lost that desire.
I believe that can happen.
That can happen. But the change of life, it's a change of lifestyle.
It is.
And it's a process. By getting to know God and the Son, Jesus Christ, allowing Christ to work in your life, who brings us the presence of the Father, by the way, the Spirit of God into our lives.
Right.
Because our body is the temple of God.
Absolutely. So what this does is all of these things help us to overcome, to prepare us for this new world that's coming. Because we can't live in that new world. If I'm living a sinful life, I'm not going to be happy there.
No.
I'm not going to want to live in a new world where I can't do the things that my desire is to sin.
If you don't love God, you're not going to want to do.
Why would you want to be with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the choice is yours.
Yes.
It's a choice that you can make. And, you know, if you're at that pivotal moment in your life and you're listening to this program and you've had those feelings of, you know, I haven't done anything good or there's, you know, I'm just too far gone. You're not. If you're breathing right now and you can hear these words, you're not too far gone.
Charles Spurgeon would say how fortunate you are because you're the person Jesus Christ came to save.
Yeah. Keep that in mind, friends. It's never too late until you take that last breath.
Right.
Then it's too late.
Yeah.
So keep the thief on the cross.
Don't put it off, though.
No, don't.
Now is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Choose life.
Yes. I probably have preached that more than anything is, you know, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. We have no way of knowing. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of this program, my wife and I are taking a vacation. I say it as if it's in the bank. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Until I get there and until I'm back, something could happen to me while I'm gone before I go.
Right.
We don't know. That's how futile life is in this world.
Not only that, but maybe your desire may wane over time if you don't act on it.
Right.
And experience what life is like with a relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. So this text here in Romans, it's so beautiful because it shows that wherever we are, God will seek us.
Even when we're enemies to God.
Even when we're enemies. And if we are willing, he will cleanse us.
Yes.
But we have to be willing to be cleansed. You know, I can't, he's not going to take me out to the fire hydrant and turn it on and clean me up.
You know, we've recently met someone who is reading his Bible and is seeing the truth on the page. And he's so excited. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says. He just wants to be in God's will.
That is so refreshing, Ed, because we have so many conversations with people all of the time. People will join our Bible study that we have on Wednesday nights via Zoom or even in person, and they'll come for maybe a month or two or three, maybe 6 months, maybe as much as a year.
Right.
And they'll see what the Bible says, and it's almost like, well, that's just too much for me. I'm not willing to give this up in my life. I'm not willing to live for God yet. And, you know, I feel so bad because with this brother that you're talking about, it's so refreshing to see somebody to say, wow, God doesn't want me to do this in my life. Well, I have to give that up.
Yeah.
I have to lay that down.
And he not only is it acknowledging what he needs to do, but he wants to do what God wants him to do.
Yeah, just because he desires to do the will of God.
Yeah.
This is the desire that Jesus had when he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done.
Right.
He wanted to give up all selfishness.
And this man has given up things in his life, financially. Yes, given up things.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. So it's and that's what a witness that is to me.
Yes.
You know, we encourage one another in this, and that's what's beautiful about it. So in this new earth, these desires won't even be part of us. You read in Jeremiah, and in Isaiah, right, we read that these things will be, those sinful tendencies and desires will be no more, because we won't have the influence, first of all, and we will be changed.
I hope people realize that now is the time of salvation. Now is the time we need to, yes, make changes in our life, because the only thing you're going to take to heaven is your character.
That's it.
You're going to have a new body.
Right. That's right. I need a new body.
No matter how beat up your body is, and I've worked with a lot of people with extreme physical issues.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Have. That's going to change.
For those of you who don't know, Ed was a physical therapist for many years.
Yeah.
And you saw all kinds of different infirmities and things.
Yeah, that were spinal cord injuries, head injuries, strokes, amputees, triple amputees, you know, just all kinds of horrific stuff that people have to deal with. But one day, if they're faithful to God and rely on the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, their bodies are going to be made new.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're told that in a number of places in the Bible. Let's just take a look first. I always like this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yeah.
We'll read a couple of these promises, and then we'll finish out in Revelation here in just a little bit. You know, this was really important that we talk about this, Ed, because it seems like more and more, especially in this world, people are becoming more reliable, starting to rely more on antidepressants.
Yeah.
And they watch a lot of TV, and they're on the computer, and there's a lot of hatred out there, mm-hmm, you know, and everything is self-centered, it seems. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Ed, could you read from verse 50? Read as far as you can read through the end of the chapter.
All right, I'll do that. This, again, is the modern King James, 1 Corinthians 15:50. And I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed, mm-hmm, in a moment, in a glance of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall put on immortality, then will take place the word that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not without fruit in the Lord.
Amen.
There's so many exciting things in here.
There are.
I used to go to a church, and most churches have a nursery, right?
Right.
A mother's room where you can, if your child gets out of control, you know, talking, crying, whatever, then go there, feed them, change their diaper, whatever. So on this particular church I used to go to, they had this on the mother's door. It said, "We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed." 1 Corinthians 15:51.
That's good. You know, we should probably put that. We have a little tiny mother's room in our ministry. You should probably put that on the door.
But look at their promise here. At the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That means, you know, our bodies will be made whole.
Yeah.
We'll be changed.
Right.
And it talks about death. Death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, but there's going to be no more sin because of what Christ has done. We have victory in Jesus Christ over sin.
Absolutely. What a beautiful promise. And, you know, the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote this. He was a Pharisee. He understood these things from the Old Testament and from the promises that Christ made. He realized this is this will be a reality.
Yes.
You know, we fantasize everything in our minds sometimes. This is real. This is very real. And it's not just a temporary relationship. This will last for an eternity.
Yes.
And it's hard to imagine.
No stress, no anxiety, no worrying about if God loves you or not.
Right.
You know, he does. He sent his son.
You know, absolutely. We have proof that he loves us, don't we? We have that absolute proof. So let's, were you going to share something?
Go ahead.
Let's turn to Revelation. And I want to look at chapter 21 and 22. There's a couple of things here that I really think are beautiful, particularly chapter 21. This is what Jesus was talking about. In verse 1, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" And it doesn't stop there.
No.
It says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he said, who sat on the throne, or then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." So when we think about, oh, here it is again. It says, and he said to me in verse 6, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts."
Yes.
That's what you read at the beginning of the study.
Right.
You read that. And here it is in Revelation. And it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What a beautiful thing. And again, we think of this as fantasy, a lot of people do. But in my mind, this will happen. I understand this will happen.
We experience so much stuff in this life.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine life the way you described it here. Let me read Revelation 22,
please.
Verses 1 through 5.
I'm so glad you're taking us there.
"And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street and of the river, from here and from there, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit according to 1 month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And every curse will be no longer, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads, and there will be no night there, and they need no lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever."
Mm. You know, Ed, you and I come from different backgrounds, and you have understood these verses correctly all of your life. You grew up understanding what this meant. Coming from my background, I was always taught that I would never meet God.
Yeah.
I was taught that the earth would be restored, but I was taught that I would just be here on the earth with the people. But this is a promise from God. He doesn't want to be in a remote area from you and me.
Right, and that restoration was a different way than what the Bible says.
Yes, it was. It was very different. And when I read these texts, and I can believe these words on the page.
Yes.
And I know that they're true because all of the prophecies that it has foretold so far have occurred exactly as it said.
Yes.
The coming of Jesus, how he would be born on this earth, the time that he would be born on this earth, that he would live, that he would die, that he would be resurrected, that he would ascend. All of these things were prophesied and they happened.
Right.
That's 100% accuracy in prophecy. So when the Bible tells me these things and it says all things are going to be made new by God, that he's going to do it, that he himself will live with us, that we will see his face. You know, I shared this. We're going to have to end soon, but my mother is in her 80s. And when she was in her early to mid 70s, I had this conversation with her because this is when I really had a chance to witness to her about what this says.
Right.
And she raised me believing what she believed. Mm-hmm. And I believed it because my mom taught me.
Right.
And you know, when you're in your church, you have the truth,
right,
with my air quotes. Yeah. Nobody can see me. But, but you know, the thing is, when I said to my mom, "Mom, aren't you grateful for what Jesus has done for you?" And she says, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, don't you want to meet the one who gave his life for you, who died for you?"
Yeah.
And literally, Ed, there were tears coming down. She says, "Yes, I want to meet him." I said, "Well, you're not only going to meet him, you're going to meet his father."
Yeah.
That's what this tells me right here.
Yeah.
And she, to this day, my mom's 86 right now, and she tells me almost every time we talk, "I really can't wait to meet the Father and his Son."
Yeah.
She says that to me all the time. And I know that promise is real to her, and it's real to me. And friends, I hope it's real to you. These things, this is not fantasy. The Bible is not a storybook. It's a book from God. It's a book of history. It's a book of prophecy. Any closing thoughts, Ed, before we go?
What love God has for us, that he sent his own only begotten Son. This is how much you're valued by God.
Amen.
Don't think that you aren't. Reach out to him in your time of need, and he will help you.
Amen. If you have that feeling that I've done too much, read Romans 5. It's one of Ed's favorite texts. Read Romans 5 through 8.
Yes.
And just pray about it.
Those chapters.
Yes, yeah. Yes, do that. And so we're out of time, Ed. This time just goes by so quick. Friends, the key is the earth is going to be restored. God has a plan for you.
Yes, to be there.
To be there, to be with him. Accept it. Accept the gift of salvation. Pray about it. If you don't believe, pray that he'll help you to believe.
Right.
So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the promises that you, Father, have made through your Son, and that we know those promises will come to fruition. We've seen many of them already. We thank you for that. We just ask that those who are listening, that they will take heed of the things that are in your word, that they will desire a relationship with you and your Son, Jesus, and that they will ask you into their hearts, that they can cry, "Abba, Father." Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask that you keep us safe until we come together again, and we pray a blessing on each and every one who listens to this program and those who are around them. We thank you for everything you provided for us, and particularly for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we're glad you are with us. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but there will be a program next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.